It's time for the A game. Hey.
A good day or bad day don't matter.
Living the dream, or if the dreams are shattered,
say God is with me.
Hey, that's right. He's always with me. And I know he's with you because we're here together. Welcome to the A game today. Yes, it's Rev with you one more time. I want to talk about some priorities, some goals, changing attitude, keeping up your mentality, and getting rid of those excuses. That's with the A game on www.eaj1023radio is all about. And I'm glad to be with you this morning. Super excited. Weather is really nice outside. I'm going for a ride on my motorcycle a little bit later, and I can't wait. Indeed. Well, I'm glad to have all of the www.eaj1023 listeners with us here today. And I'm excited because I'm continuing our journey that we began not too long ago. Talking about love and what's love got to do with it. Part two today. And one of the things that I want to talk about is the direction I want to take with part two is I'm actually going to target. Yeah, I'm going to target the men, the guys. I want to talk to the guys today. I want to talk to the men of God, or, you know, men of God in the process, right? I'm gonna take some time and talk to you this morning on the focus of love. And not that I'm an expert on love or anything like that, but I do believe that God wants this message for somebody listening to take heed to, learn from, grow from. And so here I go in obedience to that, right? One of the things that I always look forward to is being able to speak truth. And when we're talking about love, there's so many different aspects of it that it's actually very amazing to see that love can take on so many different meanings, so many different people, that it almost becomes arguable, right? So when I look at what God says about love, I use basically 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which I call the love chapter. I've heard it called that. And in talking about that, it does focus its attention on what love is and what love is not. And then when we look at Ephesians chapter 5, it starts talking to us about the role that love plays in the relationship between husband and wife. It says that you know, love is about, not about you changing your wife, guys. It is by changing yourself. We show love to our loved ones, to our spouse. We, by God's grace, God must change me and you. We must be born again. Without grace, we can't have the marriage God would have for you. Without the God who is love dwelling in you, you cannot truly love anyone. Understand this, that the love you're called to takes supernatural grace. God does not call us to love our wives when they treat us well. That is not like the only time you're going to show love to your wife is if she's acting right, so to say, right? She ain't acting right. Well, that's not what God has called her to actually act right. That's not what we're thinking about here. What we're talking about is that God says that the conditions for love stay the same, no matter what the person that you're loving does. No matter what. God does not call us to love our wives when they're doing what we tell them to do. That's not Christ-like love. The person we are called to love is the one nailing us to the cross. Yeah. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's Ephesians 5:25. See, when that opens up, wives submit to your husbands. But when it comes to husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, we must practice how to do biblical love. We see this in Corinthians 13, as I was talking about. Sure sign is this. And this blew my mind, but it's just so true, right? It's just so true. I want to turn down. I want to have a little bit of background music. There you go. There you go. I feel much better about that because God is with me. Back to the drawing board. Does your wife listen to you? Husband, does your wife listen to you? Well, if the answer is no, and I'm not talking about she jumps when and says how high. That's not what we're talking about. But if the answer is no on a really, really general basis that you find that there, then we're probably not demonstrating love to her in a way she understands. There may be walls of bitterness in your marriage that need to be torn down. Now, I've been counseling couples for over 20 some odd years, and including getting counseled with my own self. And so I want you to listen to how Paul describes the importance of love. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In Paul's day, in the worship of Cybele or Cybele or Dionysus, two pagan false gods, they were speaking in ecstatic languages accompanied by clanging cymbals and smashing gongs and blaring trumpets. And what Paul seems to be saying is that no matter how eloquent you are, if you do not have love in your life, in your walk with Christ, you are no different than the pagans and their loves. And then he starts to give us some attributes. Paul gives 16 biblical attributes of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Listen, and I'm going to break this down. And I don't care how many sessions it takes. I've got a 6th session just on your setback can be a setup for your comeback, right? So this is very important. And this topic here, because God is love, and through his love, there's some things that's happening on our planet. I think we have to reconnect to that, right? Okay, so listen to this. Paul gives 16 attributes of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 8a. And if you'll pray in person, pray for me, all right? Okay. So love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude, does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love is. See, when we talk about what love is, we could actually change the word love to Christ, because Christ is love and God is love. Christ is patient and kind. Christ does not envy or boast. Christ does not, he's not arrogant or rude, etc. Christ never fails. I want to be like Christ. I want my name to be in the midst of this, to take out the God is, take out love is, take out charity is, and put Winston is. Winston is patient. Winston is kind. Put your name in there. That's what we want to end up doing. And so I'm going to break each characteristic down and see if the application of the principle into our life is something doable, so that we can say, yes, I can be in obedience to this and get the blessing that comes with it, right? Which is a submitted wife, a wife that falls right in line with the plan God has for your life without resisting as much. Amen? Okay. All right. Love is patient. Let's start with that. Love is patience. Patient. That's a big one. Love is patient. Love is patient. Verse 1. The King James says, charity suffereth long. Ooh. Long suffering is the ability to control anger or frustration. The word translated patient here is makrothumia. It means long-tempered and is the exact opposite of our expression of being short-fused. See, patience is how love reacts in order to bring peace and the love of Christ into a negative situation. Patience is how love reacts in order to bring peace and the love of Christ to a negative situation. You see, when something pops up that is supposed to cause division in your relationship, to steal from you, kill your dedication and destroy all that you've worked for, you have to understand that this is the time for love. You see, love is going to conquer this. See, patience, like I said, is the way love reacts in order to bring peace and the love of Christ to a negative situation. Husbands, when you don't get what you want, how do you react? A lack of patience will turn your home into a war zone. Patience waits and never gives in to sinful anger. Patience waits for a godly outcome. And understand that patience is not just like white knuckling your emotions in order to hold back the rage or the storm that really wants to come out. Oh no, you got me messed up. You done picked the wrong one today. But this is your wife you're talking to here. This, you're talking to yourself, actually, because you and her have become one flesh. Patience is joyfully submitting to Christ for the good of another person. Jesus submitted to death on a cross, so we are to joyfully submit. Joyfully submit. Wow. To choose to be patient. The opposite of patience is a short fuse. And often when we're hurting in a marriage, we want to say something hurtful back, because hurt people hurt people. But we must choose to be patient. We must choose to put aside feelings of anger and bitterness and pride. And if you do not have patient love, you will overreact and you will act foolish and angry and you will regret it. Some of you out there shaking your head and saying, Pastor, why are you all in my business this morning? Well, it's my business too. So come on, let's get on in it. Okay. Choose to patiently put aside sinful anger. Choose to patiently deal with the problem. Sinful anger never makes the situation bad, better. Chicky, better. It creates new wrongs and new hurts and new problems. I'm pretty passionate about this, as you can tell, because when it says love suffers long with these feelings of anger without acting on them, feeling anger without acting on it or responding to anger in a way that is sinful. Like, be angry. Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath or anger is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit or quick-tempered exalts folly. Wow. Proverbs 14:29. Read that in a couple of versions. That's hot right there. That's fresh bread out of the oven, baby. Ooh. He that is slow to anger is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit or quick-tempered exalts folly. Wow. Consider our Lord as an example of perfect patience. Perfect patience. Wow. Yeah, the truth of the matter is that when I take a look at the kind of patience that God has for and with me, and all he asks, or one of the things that he asks, is that I return it in kind to someone else, I want to tell you that that's a pretty good deal. That's a fair, more than fair exchange, because I can't lose with the stuff he used. That is awesome. To think about our Lord as an example of perfect patience, what it leads to is that while the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross after he had endured all that he endured, he said this about his killers: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Christ could have cursed his killers on the cross, but instead he blessed them when they heard him. He asked his Father not to hold this against them. How much more so when we think about the minute situation that you might have at home with your love, with your spouse, right? Husbands with your wife. When we think about just giving time and being patient for change to happen or not, because you see, just because we see something in someone that we wish was different doesn't mean that that's God's will. You know, everybody has flaws, defects of character, intrusions, disappointments, and discouragements. All of these things are different aspects of things that come against us in our relationship, right? A sense of pride. Even some of us have a little tiny terrorist inside of us, right? They get pleasure from seeing people squirm when we're around. It's sick, but it's true. Guys, come on. So the truth of the matter is, in order to overcome these things, we need something more powerful. More powerful. And the scripture goes on to tell us that nothing is going to outlast love. Nothing on this planet, nothing in society, nothing in this universe is going to outlive love. At the end of the day, I think it says love, hope, and something else, but it don't matter, because at the end is love. Love is going to win it at the end. And so why would love win at the end over everything else? Because God is love. And He is eternal, and He is omniscient, and He is omnipresent, and He is omnipotent, has all power. Nothing's impossible for Him. So He will outlive and outlast, and God is patient. So our call to be patient is not really a big leap if we allow God to show His patience through us. And I'm going to get a little bit more on that in a moment. For a moment right here, I want to go to one more. I think I can talk about one more before the end of today's show. So I said that love is patient from verse 1. Love is patient from verse 1. Let's move down to verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that says love is kind and giving. So love is kind. The word kind is translated from a Greek word that I can't pronounce. So I'm not going to chop it up. It's like krestumai or something like that. Krestamumi or something. That means to be useful or to be profitable, to furnish what is needed. That is what kindness is all about. At least that's what they're claiming kindness as the definition of kindness here. So how can I put it? So to be kind then, to take this Greek word and put it into something we can actually do. So to be kind is to make life easier for the other person. And to serve them from your heart. How's that? Make life easier for the other person. That's an act of kindness. You see someone carrying a heavy load, it's kindness to come alongside them and help them. See somebody crying, sit with them and put an arm around their shoulder. That's what this is talking about. To serve them from your heart. It's the same word that Jesus uses when he says, "My yoke is easy." He says, "My yoke is kind." It's the same Greek word for kind, believe it or not. So my work is kind. My work is useful. My work is going to serve. It's to serve. It's easy. And my burden is like kindness, like Jesus gets into the harness of life's problems with the other person and does all they can to lift those burdens. That's kindness. Kindness is to walk with your friend till the end. Your wife should be your best friend and walk with them through every situation. There is no giving up. There is no letting go. I am going to help. I am going to be kind to you. This kind of love looks for ways to make life easier for another by giving. That's kindness, right? Instead of, you know, Saturday morning, wifey wakes up and starts busting the house out, right? Gets out the Fantastic and the Comet and all the other good stuff that by the time she finished 2 hours later, the house is gleaming and smelling fresh and sun is shining through the windows and she done cleaned. So how about you jump up an hour or two before she wakes up and get busy and get it done now. And so that when she wake up to a nice, fresh smelling house and breakfast. Come on. I'm not talking about Valentine's Day. I'm talking about any day. Do it on a Tuesday, a day that no. When she go to work on Tuesday, she got such a smile on her face because you know ain't none of the wives get no breakfast in bed this morning before they go to work. Well, anyway, unless they listen to this show too. So kindness, this kind of love looks for ways, I says, to make life easier. A helping hand around the house with the children, with dinner, etc. A kind note or call out of nowhere, a text in the middle of nothing, and just to say a word of encouragement and compassion. If you know that there's a difficult situation or circumstance, it might be, you know, she having a hard time with the boss lady at work, you know, and know she got to sit through it through the day and hold her tongue and stuff like that. To call her up and give her a quick prayer, you know, let her know that she's supposed to pray for that woman that's her enemy, that she's a blessing from God for her, etc. Spend a significant amount of time and attention. Stop, take a vacation just to be with that, with your wife. And I'm not talking about in the same house or apartment. I'm talking about in the same room, sitting next to, listening to, not talking about, not talking to, talk, yeah, a little bit, but listening to these. Oh man, kindness is love in action. And use gentleness of speech. Choose to be kind in your voice, even the tone. Kindness is love in action. The opposite of kindness is harshness and a suspicious spirit. Kindness, on the other hand, introduces positives into all situations. Kindness is the sympathetic kindliness or sweetness of temper, which puts others at their ease and shrinks from giving pain. Kindness thinks far more of others than of self. Kindness can be broken down into four categories: gentleness, hopefulness, willingness, and initiative. Gentleness, hopefulness, willingness, and initiative. If you give me a few moments to talk about this. Gentleness. Kindness leads you to be very sensitive about being unnecessarily harsh. You are sensitive, tender. Even if you say hard things, you're careful to bend over backwards to make your words as easy as possible to hear. You want the person to want to continue to hear you. You can tell when someone doesn't want to hear you when they start talking too. Because they know that if they are talking, they are not listening. So stop talking and listen. I'm going to say that again. If they are talking, they are not listening. So stop talking and listen. It takes patience to just listen. But driven by kindness, it's doable. So kindness leads you to be very sensitive about being unnecessarily harsh. You are sensitive, tender, even if you have to say hard things, okay? Helpfulness, on the other hand, means you're always looking around to meet the needs of the moment. You come into a dirty, disorganized house, and instead of yelling about how it ought to be, you say nothing and simply start doing the dishes, helping with the laundry, pick up the screaming kid and walk into the other room, take him in for a ride in the car and give the woman a break. A moment to exhale. You using your words of love to calm the situation. Kindness means you put your needs on hold to meet the needs of the others in your life with helpfulness. And willingness is it inspires you to be agreeable, like I want to, right? Instead of being obstinate, stubborn, always right and self-righteous, you want to cooperate. You're totally, it's okay. It's okay to seeming to lose, but you really win. You see, kind love is always thinking of others. A kind husband will not have to be coerced off the couch to help set the table. No, the kind husband thinks ahead and is already setting the table and filling the glasses before being asked. A kind husband helps put the house back in order after company leaves. A kind husband will help get the children ready for church or ready for bed without the wife having to ask or be exasperated because she knows that if she asks, she's going to end up in an argument. A kind husband will take the initiative. And I'm going to stop right there. We're going to go a couple more shows because it's time for me to let you know that I love you and I care for you and I thank you, Eddie. Eddie OJ for giving me this wonderful privilege and opportunity to serve the people, some of what God feeds me with. And I appreciate you for the past 3 years that we've been doing this, if not four. Woo! Okay. But thank you so much. And you know, I want everybody out there to do one thing. I want you to be blessed. And I know you're already blessed, but I want you to be blessed intentionally. I want you to remember that God is with you. That's the theme for this year. God is with you. He never fails. He never fails. He's always, always, always with us. Hallelujah. He never, ever, ever, ever fails. Let's go.
A good day or bad day, don't matter.
It don't matter.
Living the dream, or if the dreams are shattered.
So,
God is with me. He's always with me. A thousand friends or just 10, don't panic.
No panic.
Just keep you cool, don't act a fool, no static. Say, God is with me. He's always with me. Tight, say, God is with me. He's always with me.
I love this verse. Listen to this. Failed again.
Failed again, or struggling.
It's okay.
He makes a way out of no way every day.
So,
God is with me.
Are you with me? Are you with me on this song?
He's always with me.
This is our chant. Our anthem by Patrick Trumpet.
Everywhere I go, I want the world to know.
Yeah.
Everywhere I roam, I'm never left alone. God is with me.
Always.
He's always with me.
Let me just tell you how I'm blessed and where I'm blessed. Listen up.
Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed with a one or five course meal. Blessed when I come and blessed when I go, even when it seems impossible. Blessed when I'm up, blessed when I'm down, whether I smile or wear a frown. So notice to my enemies, G-O-D is with me.
Hey, have a blessed one until the next time we get together. God is with us. It ain't no stopping us now, because it gets better. Y'all remember that, and love yourself and love each other. We're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back next week on www.eaj1023 radio Sunday morning lineup. You heard? Ooh.